Thank you for listening to the podcasts from Life Central Church. For more information or to visit one of our locations, go to lifecentralchurch.org.uk.
So why do people get baptized? Why do they? Have you ever wondered why that is? Well, I want to share two kind of reasons for that, really. The first one is that something has happened to them on the inside. Something's happened to them on the inside. If you're a teenager, you had a teenager, you were a teenager, you know that there's a moment in a teenager's life when they've changed. They've started washing. And they smell different. And why has that happened? Because maybe they've noticed somebody who was always there, but they never really saw them before. And all of a sudden, because they've seen someone who was always there in different light, something has changed on the inside, and that's coming out on the outside. The people that are getting baptized today have met someone. They've met God. And something has happened on the inside, which they want to communicate to all of you today. Maybe once upon a time, they kind of thought of God and they thought of faith, like many of you might think, that of these three things. We think of faith as boring, as untrue, and as irrelevant. That's what we often think about faith. And maybe these people baptized, I don't know, I haven't heard all their stories yet. I'll hear them like you guys will hear them in a moment as well. Maybe they once upon a time thought that faith and God and Christianity was boring, untrue, and irrelevant. Boring. Robert Louis Stevenson, the famous writer, he said this, "I've been to church today and I'm not depressed." I mean, because that's the image that many people have about faith, that it's just boring or it's untrue. It's like myth, it's legend, it's fairy tale. It's like King Arthur, Snow White, Villa winning the league. It's like myth and fairy tale. But actually, many of us think it's irrelevant. Maybe it's true for you, but it's just irrelevant. It means nothing to my life. But all of these people getting baptized, maybe they thought at one point it was boring, untrue, or irrelevant, but not now. Because something has happened on the inside. They've met someone who's absolutely changed their life. And you know, this week, we've all been impacted, haven't we, by the Princess of Wales's news about her cancer and all of that. It reminds us that life happens to all of us, no matter who we are, and bad things happen to all of us as well. But you know, the King, King Charles, when he was the prince, he once said this, "For all the advances of science, there remains deep in the soul a persistent and unconscious anxiety that something is missing, some ingredient that makes life worth living." We want to suggest to you today that these folks getting baptized have found that ingredient in the person of Jesus Christ. And rather than me just tell you about it, they are going to tell you about what has happened to them on the inside, which is why they're getting baptized today. Here's a few of the stories. You're going to meet a few others live, but here's some that we've recorded as well. Take a look at the screen. These are people's stories.
So before I met Jesus, I grew up in a Christian household with a family which was very heavily involved in church. And so I always knew who God was, but I never really took it on for myself. And so I was a bit of a troublemaker. I caused a lot of hassle for my parents and my family, but also I struggled a lot at school with making friends. And I think I always knew there was this piece in my life that was missing and seemed just where it was empty. But it took me quite a while to realise that it was Jesus that I was missing at that moment. So I gave my life to Christ when I was 7, where I'd heard from my mum what it was all about being a Christian. But when I look back, I still don't fully understand it. But one thing that I have seen is that as I've grown up and matured and been through so many different things and gone through school and being a teenager, God has shown me what it really means to make this faith my own faith rather than just my family's faith. And he's really taught me what it means to be his follower, to love him and to magnify him to all the people around me. I think when I look at my life now, there are still many ups and downs, but it's better than ever. I look at how God has blessed me and how he works through me, and it's truly incredible just to see, and it feels almost unreal. I think the opportunities that God has given me since I've started following him completely is things that I couldn't ever have imagined. And he's started to shape me and change me in ways which I could have never expected. But the best thing is to see how he's using me to reach other people and to speak to other people and reach other people to tell them about him. think it took me a while to fully understand what baptism was and to fully feel ready for it. However, I think in the past year, my faith in particular has grown so much more than I could have ever imagined. And seeing how God has used me in this year, I finally felt like it was ready to take that next step, to take that step and say, yeah, you know what, I'm completely all in at this point.
So before I met Jesus, life was okay, but it had its complications. When I was 8 years old in 2015, I lost my mum. Then 7 years later in 2022, I lost my nan. I thought I was okay, but I didn't have a place where I could seek the comfort. Whereas now, if something terrible like that happened again, which I hope it doesn't, I know I would have Jesus by my side to comfort me and to be my strength for it. So I found out about Jesus through my mate Joe, who was a member here at Life Central Church. He introduced me to a few worship songs, but at the time I never knew really what the songs meant. Then further on down the line, he introduced me to Life Central Church, where I got to meet some amazing people in my friendship group. I met Harvey, and it just was one step of this journey that I'm taking with Jesus. In Limitless Festival 2023, I had my first encounter with God. And it was just like a hand over a shoulder to guide me along this path and with him. So it was one November at Cruise Live where I decided to give my life to Jesus when I was around my friends and my closest friends, and they were there to support me every step of the way. Following Jesus now, I kind of have a comfort, I have a strength, and I have a guidance in life, whereas before I never really knew where the road would take me. Whereas with Jesus now, it is kind of a set in stone life. He's going to lead me along this path instead of making me turn down these wrong paths and just keeping on this main path to him. I'm getting baptized today because I feel like it is the next step in my journey with Jesus.
I've always known Jesus and felt like I had a relationship with him, but I sort of put it to the back of my mind. And I would hang around with the wrong crowds, compromise on my morals a lot in order to please other people, not really think about things long-term. I came to sort of be inspired to get back into my faith because I had a lot to do with what's going on in Palestine. It was one video that I'd watched where a man had lost absolutely everything. He'd lost his family, his home, and he stood in front of the rubble where his family were and he thanked God. And I thought, wow, that really just resonates with me, because going through all of that and experiencing that kind of trauma and losing absolutely everything and still thanking God, I thought that was inspirational, really. And I thought, why have I put all of this to the back of my mind when my life could be completely different and I should be more thankful of everything that I'm experiencing in my life? So after that, I just Googled churches that were around the area, really. Life Central just called out to me, and then I inquired and then visited, and everyone was so friendly, so loving, made me feel really welcome. And then I joined Alpha. I've been every Sunday. I went to the women's conference. I've just got involved every way that I can. So there was a moment where I said yes to Jesus. A, it was as soon as I came. And B, there was a big moment really when I was going through something recently, and I went to one of the services on Sunday, and it was just exactly what I needed. And I'd prayed for strength to get me through what I was going through. And the day afterwards, it was like the weight had been lifted off my shoulders. The difference Jesus has made in my life, I've put Jesus first. I don't compromise on my morals, compromise on anything in my life. Find forgiveness and move on with my life rather than being resentful or regretting anything. I'm being baptized today to just confirm everything that I believe, to do a public declaration of my love for Jesus and my commitment to God.
So I think I reached a point in life early on last year where I started to ask a lot of questions about sort of life and the world. I've spent the last 10 years, most of my adult life, 10 years working for the health service. So I've seen a lot of suffering, a lot of unusual things going on, and especially with all the injustice going on in the world. And it led me to think there must be more to life than this. So it all started, I was actually out shopping in the city centre, Liverpool, actually, funnily enough. And I was walking between the shops and I heard these preachers, and they were talking through microphones and things like that. And they were talking about Christianity, about Jesus, about the world and faith. And normally my reaction would be, quick, pick up the pace, another direction, let's go. But something told me on that day to listen to what they were saying. And I thought, if these guys are here to spread a message, there must be something behind it. So I went home, started exploring some of the local churches. I got my hands on the Bible, and it was striking to me how relevant the Bible actually is to the modern world. So whilst I was doing my own personal exploration, let's say, of the church, I came across Life Central on Facebook, on social media, the live streams. I started to watch and really found out how differently the services are at Life Central. I started to come along in person. I was a bit nervous, but straight from the word go, there's people welcoming you. It's almost like they're expecting you to come, even though they don't know who I was. And then one of the days, one of the people said, why don't you come on an Alpha course if you're curious and you want to find out more about Christianity and life? I said, okay then. Went down to the Alpha course, again, felt really accepted, really comfortable, really relaxed. It answered a lot of the questions for me. I'm now getting involved more with volunteering for the church. And it's just been fantastic, really has been fantastic. So the main thing about following Jesus, that's the difference it's made to my life, is looking back over my life so far, it's been nice to realise that things haven't just been coincidences, that it's all been planned and I'm following in the path that has been destined for me. And it's nice just to wake up every morning and realise there is a purpose for getting up. And there's always somebody behind me with a hand on the shoulder. It's just been nice to have that relationship and realise that he's always there for us. It's a pivotal step, obviously, in Christianity to get baptised and follow in the name of Jesus. It's mentioned in the Bible multiple times about being such an important sort of turning point. And I have accepted that I do want to follow Jesus, and this is the way to make an outward declaration to say, this is what I want to do.
Oh, good. My name's Andy. For those of you that don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here. Part of my role here is I get to oversee and point lead on baptisms, and I'm part of the Alpha team as well. So today is kind of like my FA Cup final. It's like celebrating all that I've seen God do over the last few months and years in and around the life of the church. And we've got some more stories for you. Do you want some more stories? I mean, if you say no, tough, you're having them. Why don't you put your hands together and welcome Mags, James and Maggie to the stage, who are going to share their story. And sharing her story first is Mags. Over to you.
Thank you. So I was baptised as a Catholic in Ireland, probably at 6 weeks old, made my first confession, my Holy Communion, confirmation. I moved to England, found the local Catholic church, wasn't particularly connected there, but still went because that's what you're supposed to do and you go every single Sunday. To quote the Soul Doctor song, it's buying shares in the afterlife. I had a child, got married, had a child, but then I got divorced. And I didn't really feel that my God loved me because I couldn't receive any of the sacraments. So gradually over time, I started to move away. And as Niamh kind of decided that she wasn't really into it either, it was an easy option. There was always something better to do. I got married again and I got further away from the church. Because I'd been thought that being a Catholic was all about going to church rather than being about a man who loved me so much that he died on a cross for me. But I started to hear a voice telling me, come back to church, come and meet me. Now, for you, those of you who know me, the word no is not what I would have said to him. It was very different words that I would have used. But we kept having those internal discussions. Jane was someone that I knew through work. We had a casual chat over a cup of tea one day, and she said to me, "Why don't you come to Life Central?" And I went, "Well, that can't be a proper church because it hasn't got a saint's name in it, has it?" The voice kept getting louder. And I felt I should go to a church, but I was saying to him, "I'm not going back to Catholic church. I've tried it a couple of times. It still doesn't do it." So I was in therapy at the time, which, as you can tell, doesn't surprise you, and had a conversation with the woman about different types of churches. And she said, "Oh, Church of England will be similar. I wouldn't go there. Try Methodist. That might be okay. Pentecostal would be shoving you so far out of your comfort zone. I wouldn't try that." And yet here we are. So I did try one other church, and it didn't really do it. It was more, they were talking about, "Give us your money." That was their interest. They weren't interested in me. They weren't interested in my well-being. They weren't interested. So I thought, let's try a different one. And during the week, we'd been talking about work about faith-based organisations that we work with. And I said, "Oh, let me go and have a look at them. See, do they put the electrodes on the kids? Are they trying to convert them while they are? And what are they like in terms of inclusivity?" So I came to FaZe on a Friday night and saw how they supported young people, and to see how those people demonstrated their faith in terms of how they met those young people with compassion, care and empathy. And they didn't care about those young people in terms of where they came from, in terms of their religion. They saw them as young people and how they could support them. So I thought, let's give that church a go. I remember Jane saying, let me come to, and so I did. I came on the Sunday, and it was Baptism Sunday. So I thought, that's not real. Yous are all a bit too friendly. Yous are a bit too happy. That can't be normal. I've got to try it next week. But to be fair, Rachel came and sat with me and had a chat. And I thought, okay, this is very different. Not used to this at all, but really lovely. So I came back the following Sunday. Sandra sat beside me and had a chat. I thought, yous are keen. Okay. But loved what I heard from the stage. There was messages that I took for the week ahead. It was absolutely amazing. The door openers in this building were really important for me. They made me feel welcome, and they welcomed me with open arms. Then I attended Alpha, which obviously Andy and Gareth kind of support, but on my table was Martin and Caroline. They facilitated it, and I learned about being a part of a family with God at the head. I learned about a relationship with Jesus rather than a religion. During Alpha, I decided that I wanted to be baptised to make the public declaration of following Jesus. And the song Prodigals was just being released, I think, at that time we were starting to sing it here. And that really touched my heart, that I'm coming home. So before following Jesus, I was breathing but not alive. And now I have joy in chaos. I have peace that makes no sense. People in my life would say I create the chaos, but, we're not going to go there. I have become calmer, and I know that God walks with me at all times and is my shield. I have a sense of belonging both to God and to a wider family, and that I am welcomed as I am, broken, warts and all. The game changer for me was all about the relationship to God the Father, and I know what I would do for my daughter and how Mama Bear comes out when anything goes wrong. And yet, when I think of God and his relationship with me, it's far more than that. He is my biggest cheerleader, waiting for me when I've messed up to dust me down, put me back together and encourage me back to the right path. It just feels really different. And I am eternally grateful for everything that everyone here has done as part of that journey. Thank you.
Wow. So incredible. Listen, if you're part of our guest services team, the car park and the hosting team, the refreshments team, like, what you do makes a difference. You just heard it there. And then thank you so much for those of you that serve as part of our dream team. If you're wondering what Alpha is, Alpha's like a short course that we run here to help people explore faith. We're exploring whether we can run one in the summer term. You can still sign up for it. Again, visit the connection point or go to our website if you're interested in that. But next person to share his story is James. Put your hands together for James, everyone.
Right. Growing up, I never followed a religion, and to be honest, it was never something I even thought about. When I met my wife, Amy, and her family at 18 years old, I was included into a Christian family with open arms. I was never pressured into Christianity, but I attended events at church, such as Christmas, Easter, and Margaret's baptism. Every time I left these services, I always had a question. I always had questions, but I just didn't know how to ask them. Fast forward to 2021, when me and my wife were invited to a Life Central Christmas production. I saw Alpha advertised, and with the support of Andy Shepherd, I started my journey. Alpha was an opportunity to ask all these questions I had previously been unable to. Due to the questions and doubts that I had, I asked for God to show himself. I asked him to show me that it's okay to have doubts, but also to prove that what I'm searching for is real. For 3 nights in a row, I had the same dream, a dream of a human figure standing in front of me. He didn't say anything, he didn't move, but one thing he did do was remove the doubt that I had. Like Leon said a few weeks ago, just because God is silent doesn't mean he's absent. After Alpha, I felt more ready to let God into my life, but still had loads of questions. I started to research, read, and regularly attend Life Central. And every time I opened myself to Christianity, the more I felt drawn to God. Therefore, my relationship with him developed. I can't define or explain that relationship. However, as I stood in the congregation 1 week watching others being baptized, I felt an immense draw to commit myself to God. As always, and as humans, we have doubts. And when I was unsure about being baptized, a song on my playlist kept playing. Some of the lyrics helped me make my mind up about today. The song is called Start Over, and these are the lyrics which helped me. I'm not going to sing. Everybody's got a blank page, a story that they are writing today, a war that they are climbing. You can carry the past on your shoulders, or you can start over. Regrets, no matter what you're going through, Jesus, he gave it all to save you. He carried the cross on his shoulders so you can start over. So here I am.
Well done, mate. Really well done. Wonderful. And keep that applause going for Maggie as she comes to share her story.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Maggie Peachy, and this is my story. I come from a nominal Christian background where everyone was christened in my family except me. I was the youngest. No one spoke of God anyway, so I didn't think it made a difference, so I thought. From a young age, though, I had a secret relationship with God because when I was a believer, or tried to be, outwardly, my friends, family would mock me. So I couldn't prove it. I stuck with my secret prayers. I felt blessed for it, mostly praying for others, but I kept it to myself. It was my secret relationship with God. Throughout my life, I've tried to explain. I think when it comes to God, you have to believe to see. You don't see to believe. It doesn't work that way, which seems to be the hardest thing. I was introduced to Jesus when I was 19 years old. A friend invited me to a Christian church, and I became overwhelmed with emotion. My mother was with me. We didn't understand what was happening to me. We thought it must be a cult. My mum advised that I don't go back to the church, and I took her advice. I stayed away. My whole life, though, I've had this emptiness. I don't know. I've often asked the question if other people feel a hole inside them, like something's missing. It's a sense for purpose and direction, but it doesn't come with an instruction booklet. I've tried to fill this void with spiritual works, New Age healing stuff, and I still never fully feel complete. I've always felt a little bit lost. Somewhere, though, in my spiritual growth, I was meditating, and my meditation turned to a direct prayer to God. And I was comfortable finally saying the word God. I'll say it again. God is real. It touched me, and I started being okay if people made fun of me for saying the word God. I knew he was real in here. But again, I couldn't prove it. Some years later, one of my brothers was struggling with addiction. He sought help from a Christian rehabilitation centre, and this led me once again to think about Christianity. At this point, the Lord put a lady from this church across my path. Her name's Kath. She's amazing. I am going to point to you. I love you. She suggested the Alpha course. I'd never heard of it. I came to the first day Alpha course, and once again, day four, we invited Holy Spirit, and I had this massive emotional reaction again. I was so embarrassed. I kept leaving the room crying. I realized during that prayer, in that moment, this was the powerful love of God, the Father, through the Holy Spirit. This wasn't me going mad. This was real. I also realized during that prayer that at 19, I had this given to me from Holy Spirit, and I turned my back on it. 26 years, I denied myself this beautiful relationship with God. During the Alpha course, he also gave me strength in my personal life. A lot happened that week. Do you know, if I had a wish, I would wish for one moment that everybody could feel what I feel when Holy Spirit hits me. It's the most amazing, fulfilling feeling. I can only go back to what I used to say, that you've got to believe to see. We are all built differently. We all feel differently. But I wish you could feel it. I have an inner peace now, a confidence. It's filled this empty void, finally. I truly believe I'm on the right path. I really feel comfortable around my new Christian family as well. They're the most kindest, selfless people you'll ever meet. Thank you for listening. Amen.
There is another reason why people get baptized. It's not just because something has happened on the inside, but the second reason is this, that what's happened on the inside now wants to come out. And in fact, that something has changed on the inside of these people and they want to tell you about it. It's almost like they've been given a new song that they want to sing. So I'm going to ask the people who have been baptized to come back up here now and you're going to sing a song. No, you're not. All right. James already said that he's not going to sing it. But it's almost like they've got a new song to sing. And I want to just give you four kind of songs that these people are singing in their lives, because these are songs that you and I can sing as well. The first one is a song of new beginnings. Someone said, and they used those references for a song lyrics about making a new start. There's a famous story about a businessman that was selling a building to someone in London. And as he was showing them around the building, he was a little bit embarrassed because the building was shabby. There was graffiti everywhere. There was rubbish everywhere. And he said, don't worry. He said, before you buy the building, I'm going to get that bit fixed up. I'm going to get the graffiti cleaned off. I'm going to get the rubbish moved out. And the guy said, no. I don't want the building. I want the site. I'm going to build my own building. I just want the site. And when you come to God, it's like, you know, no matter what we've got, no matter who we are, no matter how rich we are or how successful we are, God says, that's all great, but I want to build a new building. Just give me your life and I'll build something new. What a great song, a song of new beginnings. Doesn't matter what's gone on in the past. When you give your life to Jesus, he's going to give you a song of new beginnings. But also, it's a song of forgiveness. You know, baptism is a sign, the water, a sign of cleansing that what's happened in our lives. You know, we've all messed up. We've broken our own rules, our own moral code, let alone God's, haven't we? Many of us, all of us have done that. And yet baptism is a sign of forgiveness. It's a song of forgiveness. You know, today in the Christian calendar, it's Palm Sunday. And we read in Matthew 21, and by the way, Matthew wasn't just a gospel, he was an eyewitness of Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus either, but something happened on the inside of him, and he was a tax collector, and something happened on the inside of him when he met Jesus, and Jesus said, why don't you leave what you're doing and follow me? And he didn't really believe in him, but he followed him. And that's what faith is. It's not just believing everything. It's following Jesus. And as he followed him, he became an eyewitness. And then he wrote down what he saw. And in Matthew 21, it says these words, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. That's a reference to Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And that's what we celebrate on Palm Sunday, this word Hosanna. And that word Hosanna literally means save us. It's like God saying, it's like the people are saying, we need a savior. That's what Hosanna means, rescue us, save us. And these people who are getting baptized, they came to a point in their life where they recognized that they needed a savior. Here's the reality. Many of us don't come to that point because we're so proud. And we don't come to that point until we realize, oh, I really do need a savior. But they've realized that. Somebody once famously wrote this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. So God has sent us a savior. And you can also know this song of forgiveness in your life as well. Jesus did not come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. And maybe you've had an experience of faith or of church where it's all been about how bad it's made you feel. Jesus did not come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. What a great song. But thirdly, it's also a song of freedom. One of my favorite films is a very old film in the 80s. It's a film called The Mission. And it features this guy that's going to come up on the screen now. And he is dragging behind him. He's a soldier in South America. It's in the conquistadors, kind of that era of history in the 1600s. And he's done some really bad things in his life. And all of the symbols of what he's done, he ties to his back. And he's dragging them along because he can't find freedom. And then he climbs up this mountain and he finds this indigenous tribe and he thinks that they're going to kill him, but they don't kill him with the knife. They cut away all of that stuff that he can't find freedom for. And then this picture here is this picture of relief. If you can go to the next one. This picture of relief as he realizes all of the freedom that he's longing for comes in that moment. He can be free of his past. Not only can he be free of his past, but he can find the power to live free in the present. And that is amazing. Jesus says in John 8, verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. We long for freedom in our world, in our life. But you know, when you come to Jesus, you can also sing a song of freedom. That's what these guys are singing now. Not a song of perfection. They're not perfect. Just because they're getting baptized, don't expect them to come out all perfect because they're not. Okay, and they won't be. But there's a song of freedom. There's a song of new beginnings. There's a song of freedom. There's a song of salvation and of forgiveness. And finally, there's a song of hope. We all need hope, don't we? And news again this weekend, horrendous things happening in Moscow in that awful concert hall shooting. And with all of our technology and all of our advancement, we're still so in need of hope, aren't we? And I love what the British guy, Arthur Wing Pinero, great name. He said this, where there's tea, there's hope. That's such a British statement, isn't it? Where there's tea, there's hope. Well, I want to say, where there's God, there's hope. Where there's Jesus, there's hope. That's what we get to celebrate this Easter time. As George Bush, many of you, you're too young to realize this, that last weekend I was in Albania. We have a church that we help lead in Albania. Albania, under communism, was the most atheistic country in the world in the 80s and the early 90s. And in the height of the Cold War, in the height of communism, and communism as a worldview suppressed anything to do with faith. And in the citadel of atheism, George Bush Sr. tells a story that he went to the funeral of Leonid Brezhnev, who was the premier of USSR, that was Russia now. And in that moment, there was his body in the coffin. And this was the citadel of atheism. This was like no God other than the state. And in that moment, his wife made us the sign of a cross on her husband's chest. Like in that moment, she's hoping he got it wrong. And she's hoping more than anything that there was a God. And I want to tell you and declare to you today, you don't have to do that. There is a God. There is a God who knows you and who loves you. And you can also have that song of hope like these guys have as well. And so I want to encourage you. We are going to invite the people back up in a moment. But I want to encourage you maybe to have a think about it. You're going to see these guys get baptized. And can I say, while they've been telling their stories, somebody else here has decided to get baptized as well. So that's crazy, isn't it? So they've been to the connection point. They've got the pack of stuff. They're all ready to go because something has stirred inside them. And they thought, you know what? I want to meet this God as well. I want to meet this Jesus as well. something's happening on the inside of that person as well. And now it's coming out on the outside, and they want you to know that they've met this God. They've met this Jesus who gives us a brand new song, a song of forgiveness, a song of new beginnings, a song of freedom, and a song of hope. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness and for your presence, God, in our lives. And Lord, as we now witness these people getting baptized, God, may something happen on the inside of us as well. Those of us that know it's true, may we remind ourselves of just how great this is. May we sing that song again. Maybe that song has gone a little bit quiet in our lives. Maybe life has pressed the song down and we don't have that song of hope. We don't have that song of forgiveness, but it's there, but we can't hear it. Maybe sing it again. And I'll pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know this to be true, that maybe they'd at least go on a journey. As these guys and girls have said, they didn't believe it either, but they went on a journey. They stayed open-minded enough to go on a journey. And I pray that you would help us to do that as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the people up in a moment. Let me just say what you can do, if this is all newer to you, is you can do what many of those people did. Take a step. Take another step. Don't have to believe it all. Don't have to believe it all. Just take another step. What could that look like? Come back. If you're not from around here, find another church. Do what many of these people did. Google it. That's what you can do now. Or come back. Easter Sunday, we're going to look at, ever wonder why Jesus rose from the dead? You know, 46% of people in the UK believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They don't kind of know why, but they believe it. It's interesting. I'm going to talk to you next week about why Jesus rose from the dead. We've got a gospel choir, we've got dancers, we've got drama. It's going to be fun, but it's going to be powerful as well. And then after that, in April, we're looking at other big questions, ever wonder why. And so I want to invite you, maybe that's your step, just to come back. Or maybe even today, you want to take a further step and have a conversation with someone about how you could know Jesus. We would love to have that conversation with you. The people that have brought you, your family and friends, would love to have that conversation with you as well. Maybe you online want to lean in on that. We'd love to have that conversation with you also as well. So I would love you to put your hands together now and welcome these amazing people as they come to the stage to join me. Woo!